away a sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they.
Chapter in the Gospel by Luke and verse 50. The seventh chapter in the Gospel by Luke and verse 50. And he said to the woman, "Thy faith have saved thee. Go in peace." You ever bless God? God the Father, that he gave his only begotten Son, and in the sweet obedience to the Father, being equal to him, with him, he was born of a woman. He was sinful as well as you and me, born in sin, you know. Not as some say that he is a... Born of a woman. Born by the Holy Ghost. And my friends, of righteous birth, a holy birth, because that babe would never sin. The only babe that was ever born in the world and ever will be without sin. Holy and pure. There's that law which had to be fulfilled in every detail. It was greatly necessary that it should be obeyed. Yet, while that babe lay in the arms of Mary, he was the Savior of her soul. And the Savior of many and many souls since, and my friend. And before he was born, for I looked unto that day, not only when he should be born, but when he died and rose again and entered into heaven in the same body as he had on the earth, but a glorified body, same body. The same wounds that he received, there they were, from which that sacred fountain flowed, and all that believed or plunged in by belief, the belief of living faith, given by the same Jesus, should know that their sins, which were many, were all forgiven. And my friends, it's very profitable when we can go from Genesis to Revelation and see the separations and yet the blessings of a covenant God, because if we are blessed of him, it is for time and eternity. And there's something more than the blessing of the soul. The Lord gave unto Joshua a very great promise, not only that he should lead and guide the people, but he says, the ground that you tread on shall be yours. We often lose sight of that. And it describes the length and breadth of the land that God had given unto Joshua, that he should, and he could claim it as his own, because it was the gift of God. It's very sweet when we can realize any parcel of ground where he has given it to, and where he gives, he commands his blessing. Yes, he makes his prison felt. He gives the sweet assurance that it is his gift, and I'm sure you cannot receive the gift of God without you know in some humble measure the giver. Now that was a remarkable chapter I read to you. In more ways than one. You see, the servant of God, both of them could not go where they thought they would. The Lord forbid them to go to Asia. And then in the silence of the night, in a vision, you see, he sent them to Macedonia. He said, they want you there. It's not what ministers say they will do, or they will not do. It's not for them to say, I won't go there or there for any other reason. God puts all that, if it's God's in it, they have to go where God sends them. And then, my friends, you know the blessings that followed. And the women, you see, God knows how to work. He had a Lydia to open her heart. When God touches your heart, he gives you one that he can open, and it's a pure heart. It's one that believes, though how many times they're beset with unbelief. Then, my friends, he could cast the devil out of one who said they were the children of God, servants of God. But that was the devil told her that. Devil can use religion, oh yes, to gain his end. He can give you some text. Well, they were women, she told the truth. They were the servant of God, but it was through the awful power of the devil. And Paul could see it, and it grieved him. And what did he do? He commanded the devil to come out. What do you believe ever took place then? Why, she followed them. There's a lot we have, he has to be commanded by the Spirit to come out of us, you know. We still got that nature with us. As you sang in your first hymn, our tempers and various frames of mind, and you know there's none of it doesn't bear that it is the grace of God in exercise. And then the Lord comes, and by the Holy Spirit he can command it to come out. And like the man that sat at his feet, whom he brought, who came to him, after he had cast out a legion of devils, he sat at his feet. This man did. And then you see he had something to speak about. And that was the path of God, which is unto salvation. It is our text, and what a chapter it is, isn't it? It's the beautiful sign of what grace does. It humbles. You can't be too humble. You can't lie too low before Jesus Christ. No, that is before him, my friends. And so, you see, the centurion went to him. And he had the hearing ear. And directly, you see, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing is by the word of God. And he heard Jesus, he heard about his power to heal. Wonderful thing, when we enter into the omnipotence and omniscience of a precious God, is there one desire to be left unanswered or unfulfilled? Why, child of God, you're rich beyond all your conception. Whoever you are, and whatever you are. You see, my friends, God's no respecter of persons. Oh, no. He doesn't set one above another. He beautifully set that forth when the disciples asked who should be the greatest. And he laid the greatest to be low. To take the lowest seat was the greatest one. And therefore the time come in the parable when the one at the wedding sat at the bottom, at the end. Now it has come up higher. I have a place for you little higher than that. Your humility is one of the sweetest graces God could ever give. And he felt he was not worthy that God should heal his servant. You see, there's enough pride in all of us. We shall never get rid of that. Only get it subdued. And when your humility comes in the place of it, it does us good. And so these Jews come and they give a good account of this centurion. They've done great good. They've built them a synagogue. That's what the dear man of God did for there, built this place, had it built. He didn't go home to his home, he had his field sold. He had and gave nearly all he had to build this place. Ah, that's love, isn't it? That's the power of the same grace. And man, he never built it in vain. And sometimes they could no room for those who want to get inside. So he had these shutters made that they could hear open those and hear the truth outside as well as in. And I was told about him the years ago. I was told when some walked over 20 miles here, they had to get to the windows underneath to hear dear Philpott when he came. Oh, how the Lord honors those that honor him. And how do you honor God? You serve him. Not serve him and think yourself that you're doing a great work. Now, whosoever giveth a disciple a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple shall have a disciple's reward. And so, Lord, that which springs forth from grace, my friend, sometimes a kind word to one in distress, and that has been a gift God has given you. You've done it in grace. And it's never passed unnoticed, my friends. And so you see, though he felt not worthy that he should come under his roof, but he believed he could heal that one. What a mercy to have a God like that, isn't it? Yes. Well, he was great in authority and power, and he says to one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. Oh, what a wonderful thing faith is, isn't it? There's no difference between rich and poor and the gospel of Christ when they meet together. As I told you before, when the farmer at Ellington in Wiltshire and his shepherd met in the chapel, or just on the Sabbath, they'd kiss each other. And shepherd say, Master, I love you. And the master said, I love you, calling him by his Christian name. That was love. There was no master and servant there, and there never is. Where there's rich and poor come together, they're all one spirit, taught by one spirit, led by one spirit, prepared by the Spirit of God, and go to the same heaven. Oh, you see, grace is a wonderful gift. And what did he do? He said, I haven't found Jesus did. That which is his own gift. He said, I've not found so great faith in Israel. No, he said, not in Israel. And that's where he was honored. God is always glorified in Jesus Christ by the works of Jesus Christ. And when he healed that centurion servant, there was a glory in the work of Christ that ascended to the Father. And then come another. It was a wonderful trip there. The poor widow loses her son. No small trial, is it? Laid on the bier, ready to be made into gold. He said, young man, he touched the bier. Oh, what cannot Christ do for his dear children when they look alone to him for help? He just touched the bier. He said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. We are overlooked some of these blessings, you know. And he sat up and told. Then he delivered him to his mother. And that was a gracious deliverance. You see, my dear friend, and while he was doing these things, John was in prison, whom was going before him, and said, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And he was in prison. And he was dark in his mind as well as in the prison. Darkness. And he wanted to know if he was the same Jesus. Now he did these miracles, so answer John, you go and tell him. You go and tell him. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. That's what he's saying. Oh, there's a lot in this chapter if you come to read it and the Lord read it with you and shine upon it. Do you know, I knew a widow. It's over in there, 65 years ago, more than that. And she could not read the name over the little chapel. No, she couldn't read anything. Get somebody to teach, to read her letters. And God always gave her enough to read the Bible when he gave her word. And he read it into her soul. These days we lose sight of these things. We sometimes come in to worship God and go out as we come in. Ah, we don't want you to do that. We want to speak of a living God that has done great things for us. And my friends, and then it came, and that there was a woman in the city. That woman was loved, and God loves many, many women, my friend. I believe in the word of truth, if you went through it, though Eve was in the fall and first partook of it, you'd see those who received the most grace and the most favor from Jesus were women. He exhorted them. I bought them thought. You'll see, even when he rose from the dead, it was Mary that he spoke to first. And here was a woman. And where did it take place? God blesses in most peculiar places. Doesn't I speak reverently. He doesn't come down to ask where he should give the blessing, or whose house he should go into. Here was a Pharisee, Simon. And my friends, it was a Pharisee's house. I mean, you know, and there's plenty of Pharisees of that. They think they're no better than others. They think they can judge others. And they think they can put others right. All the impotencies of being a Pharisee. And they never believe in Jesus Christ to let him place everything right and to go before them and guide them. And it's marked very plainly in divine writ. She was a sinner. And such, and what a mercy. The gospel is very great. He came into the world to save sinners. So the apostle said. And then he goes on to say, of whom I'm chief. Of whom I'm chief. Well, whatever sins that woman was committed, she was in the house. And there was one thing, my friends, quite certain, that if there was no forgiveness in that day when everything shall be opened up and no secrets revealed in the judgment day, she wouldn't have had any hope. It is not to be so. The Pharisee had a desire that Christ would go to his house. And yet that Pharisee, according to divine writ, never knew more than he was Jesus Christ in his human form, in his sacred humanity. He brought him to acknowledge, when he brought it to him, that he never acknowledged his sin. And this woman came. Now what effect did that woman? Well, without a doubt, in that woman's heart, and it may have been silent and secret, she may never have told another on earth. Oh, there's some about like that. I believe if those secret ones were made manifest, we should have more in our little causes. They don't tell anyone. Burden of sin seems so great to them. But she knew something more. She knew that there were some cords of love and a threefold cord. And it had to do with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it drew her to that house, not to see the Pharisee. That was nothing to her. She saw Jesus. Are you seeking him? Are you seeking him? I've had to seek him for today's services. I told him this morning I was an empty sack and I wanted to be filled. You see, dear friends, there's many do you seek him for some particular case? Do you seek him that you might know if you're doing right in his sight? Do you seek him for his gracious appearance and make the word precious to your soul, and order up all things by his counsel, and make all things work together for good, seeking Jesus? Wanted to see him. But how did she come? Why, with the fruits of his loving kindness, his tender mercy. He loved her, and he drew her. Nice if you have the love of Christ, my friends. Jesus, there's no love like it. It never varies. And he loves his children most when they're in their greatest need. And then they go to him. Wouldn't be much if we loved one and you went one way and the other way, would it? You'd want their company. Tokens of their love, evidences of it. Ah, and so does Jesus, and I speak solemnly. If he has called you by the grace, he wants to hear your voice. He wants you to seek him. And it may be in some house where you had not expected you would go before. But he knew Jesus was there. I believe it in many a little people. I do. I believe it in many a little home. Yes. And who knows? I do believe that he's been in many a heart and given that heart to love him. And if he loved me, you keep his commandments, you come and follow him, don't you? That is, where he is, you desire to be found. If you never looked in the Bible, you look in it now. You look to see if there's some evidence that he loves you. And you pray for the Spirit. And you say, show me a token. I hope you do. I hope you're looking to him for your guidance. And he alone can guide you, whatever his will is concerning you. But it's the fruit of our love. And God will have the fruit of your love. Not what you can do for Christ, what he's done for you. He will have the heart and the whole of it. The whole of your soul, that's what he'll have, and he'll have it. Oh, perhaps sometimes you want to withhold something from him. That's in our poor nature. You might say, I can't let that matter take place. I can't let this go or that go. And then he brings you with a sweet love to give you himself and give you to that grace that makes you willing to let anything go that he desires your bitter with that he might be made precious to you. To do his will and follow his voice. What did it bring? Well, certainly it brought tears to her eyes. And there's no weeping like the weeping of a seeking soul, I can tell you that. And she persists in her possession, my friends, that box of burden. And what's the ointment that God receives that is acceptable to him? Your very prayers, your very desires, your very longings, your will being swallowed up in God. So that you're willing to do and act just what he wishes you to. And there's no ointment like it. No. No ointment like it. And she never went there in front of him. His majesty was great. And she stood behind him. And she was weeping. She had a real religion. God gave it to her. There was no bitterness in it. No hardness in it. Oh no. There was the love of Christ in that woman. And it was love that flowed in every act she did. words, he was favored, and a very tears that fell from her eye, and that from her heart. They were very precious ones. And my friends, they were very valuable ones. Because if you or I were to sow in tears, we should have a time to reap in joy. And you would bear something with you. That woman bore the ointment. There was one thing she did. She had no towel. No. A precious favor. A real favor. And God gives his people it in these days. Oh, he does, my friends. By faith they'll sit and weep and give in their heart when aught is given to them. Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Seal it to thy courts above. What a blessing, isn't it? And so he favored that woman above all the women in the land to bathe his feet. You think about it. He never asked one of his disciples to do that for him. Though I believe they loved him, but he said it was an honor to him, and yet it was a great honor to that sinner. And a sinner bathing his feet with the very tears that fell from her eyes. There's something very sweet about him. Yes. Oh, what a sight. Haven't you never blessed him sometime with your heart broken? Perhaps no eye on the earth, but his eye, see you with your pillow, with your tears, for his goodness to your soul. You brought forth the ointment, you say. Sweet humility. Now that Pharisee knew nothing of it. He wondered why Christ should ever look upon that woman. Have you wondered why he's ever looked on you? Because he loved you. Because he would do that. It was deeply necessary in the order of God's grace and love that he should look upon this woman or that woman or that man or that child even, because he can go to a child that has not hardly stepped into life's pathway and bless that child with the same grace. And the same them, to lead them to the same spot where everyone born of God longs to get some, receive their pardon at first, and then compelled to fight, they find their latter stage is worse and travel much by night. There was a time. There is a time, some at the end have a time like it, when they come and they find him. That Pharisee was a stranger, did not even know the love of Christ, and wondered why that woman he should ever take notice of her. We never know who he takes notice of. Perhaps some as you'd put aside. Yes. And if you touch one of the Lord's, you touch him and touch the apple of his eye, my friend. Well, he preached to him a sermon, didn't he? And there's no sermons like where they were very short ones. Very short. It's very telling. It's like the parables. They were not long. There was nothing to worry them in it. Oh no. They spoke of the creditor and the debtors and the amount they owed. And he frankly forgave both of them. And then if it be questioned, he said, suppose, frankly forgave them, tell me therefore which of them will love him most. He brought the Pharisee to have to confess, I suppose. You want something more than that? That's a poor way of answering anybody, I suppose. God wants real decision, real decided matters between you and his teaching. And my friends, he'll give you those decisions. I suppose the one that owed the most. He said, you're rightly judged. And where did he turn then? He turned to that sinner. He turned to that dear woman. He said, I've come into your house to answer Simon. I entered there. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. And that was a custom in the East. But and gave me no water at all. No reception. No entrance. Nothing to him but just a man. You may read Jesus and there'll be nothing to you but just a name. But let him give you grace and you'll know he's your Savior, your helper, your mediator, your Jesus, and your all. Ah, he said, I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, and she hath washed my feet with tears. He never had such precious washing of his feet before. Tears of godly sorrow and deep repentance for our sins. They fell on the precious feet of our precious Savior. Happy woman, blessed woman she was. And then stooping down, she wiped them with a hair of her head. Ah, what a favor. So that her heart and her tears and all that she had expressed in those acts that she was favored to do, that she was a child of the Most High God, that she belonged to the Bride of Christ. Oh, to be favored of God. Oh, to be blessed of Him in such a way as this. Thou gavest me no kiss. There's not much love that in thou you love it, they never give you a kiss sometimes. It speaks, don't it? It speaks of the secret love that's down inward. He says, you haven't given, you never gave me one. He never wants the kiss of a Pharisee. You have to know the riches of his grace. Oh, said, you give me now kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, have not ceased to kiss my feet. What an holy lover he had here, didn't she? Why, in her very heart, she could sing, Jesus, lover of my soul. Yes, she could, if in her heart she would use that from the tip. Have you ever sang it from your very heart? Has it been meet to your soul? Why? He says, it's not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman have anointed my feet with ointment. But she gave all she had for it. Many in some sort of religion of their own say, give your heart to Christ. He can't do it. He wouldn't accept an heart that rejected him in his ways and in his blessings and in his majesty and in his passion and salvation. No. Look, she'd give her whole heart to him. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. That was it. And that in a Pharisee's house. That in a house that had no love for him. There's no knowing where he'll go to give you, they'll favor you to give him a kiss. And you'll want a kiss from him. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Let him give me some sweet assurance. Let him give me some token, some blessed help, that all will be well. You see, it's a precious gospel. Why, she's anointed my feet. I don't believe there was one part of his precious feet where the nails would soon pierce him. It was left out in all our sacred teaching of the Spirit to believe he was Jesus and the Savior of our soul. And he says, wherefore? That's when faith does work for Christ, my friends. It lives and it labors under load, but it's a great work. Great work. You can never make Christ richer. Oh no. He can make you richer in divine teaching. He can call you to come so near as to be close to him. And then he speaks to her. You see, it was a real love meeting. It was. It was to be a meeting that was not to be forgotten by her. Now, if you had sometimes, you've not had to forget it. When the Lord sweetly brings it to your remembrance. And what did he say to this Pharisee? Your sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. She did love much. She worshipped him. He gave all her heart to him. She poured out all the affection of her soul in her tears And she wiped her feet with her lab that he'd given her. Blessed woman. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Wonderful favor, wasn't it? Oh, if he'd say it to each of us before we go into eternity, forgiveness, forgiven for time, eternity too. Oh yes, David sat at meat with him, you know, began to say within themselves, who is this that forgive his sins? Who is it? What an awful thing to die without knowing Jesus Christ. In all his majesty, grace and power as the divine lover of your neighbor down so. And you now, he never attributed to himself what he gave. He'd give that woman the gift, and it was her gift. Thy faith. Does this faith that he gave the power to believe, but directly that is issued or flows from Christ, a little moment or two, no matter what your adversity may be, he'd give you a blessed hope that seemed to rise above all that cast you down. That'd be your faith. He's given it to you. It stands in his power and stands in his love. Oh, he said, thy faith hath saved thee. Thy faith. It might seem easy when we read of the jailer thinking that Paul and Silas, he doing everything to heal the wounds, and going in trembling, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they believed. In the very gospel they spoke to them, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thee and thy house shall be saved. And they were saved at once. And they followed him. They followed him. Followed in the steps he ordained for them. Ah, my friends. So that instead of being bound in the darkest bars of the prison, they were set at liberty. They preached the gospel. And before they preached the gospel, they sang in prison. And that's not very natural, is it? We don't often sing when we get in dark places in our poor soul, do we? They were in prison, and they sang praises to God. And the prisoners heard them. Oh, it's a personal religion. Some don't like that. No. But it is personal. You never can't save you. And another can't die for you. No. And another can't pardon your sins. It's all in Jesus Christ. Now I tell you, my young friend, may you know him. I do. Oh, may you be like the poor woman that lost the piece of silver. And she swept the house. Now don't believe there was one speck of dust, but what she even looked and searched to see if that bit of silver was there. And she found it, diligently seeking him, seeking for it. And when she found it, she could call her neighbors together, and you come and rejoice with me. I found that which I lost. The Lord had his blessing. Amen.